This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Jason Berry delivers the teaching entitled The Tongue, the fourth in the series Life Hacks. Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. There you will find many resources, including this teaching in both audio and video formats in the media section. There is also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Stone, Marcia and I are traveling to a family event in Michigan and spending time with her parents. And we appreciate your prayers as her mom suffers with Parkinson's and dementia. Some of you have aging parents and you know something of this journey. And you are going to be well served today as Jason Berry steps up to teach. I began leadership conversations with Jason back in 2004 when he was chasing his now wife, Amber. I didn't really care much about Jason as much as I did Amber. See, Amber was very precious to Marcia and I. Her family had been at 12 Stone from the first year of the church, and we were quite close. In fact, by 1990, we were the summer babysitters for her and her sisters. They became very special to us. Well, by the time I performed the wedding ceremony for Amber and Jason in 2006, I knew God had his hand on Jason. Jason was gifted and anointed in leadership. So by 2007, we got them on staff at 12 Stone. And then in 2009, Jason and Amber launched the Flowery Branch campus. And now many others recognize that God has his hand upon this couple. More recently, as we are launching the five campuses this January to leap us into one church in nine locations, we asked Jason to step onto the executive leadership team. In other words, when you see a bunch of these early 30s leaders rising up around 12 Stone, it's not an accident. They are killer gifted, and God is anointing a growing generation from new campus pastors to worship and more. And Jason is one of our anointed leaders that I want you to benefit from. And you are going to get some great help today from the book of James. So give it up, 12 Stone, come on, as Jason comes to teach us.
Thank you. Welcome to week four of our Life Hack series. And whether you're joining us here at Central, at Hamilton Mill, at Sugarloaf, or in God's country in Flowery Branch, we're glad that you are with us for this series. Today we talk about a very important topic. Today we're talking about the most powerful muscle in your entire body, and that's your tongue. See, your tongue is very powerful. It can be used for good or for bad. You see, your tongue can be used to build somebody up and make their day, or to just destroy them. Your tongue can be used to make people laugh or make people cry, to speak truth or to speak lies and spread rumors. And if you're like me, sometimes your tongue is also a source of embarrassment. We've all had those moments where words begin to come out of our mouth before our brain has a chance to give them intelligence. Like, you know it's happening as you're talking, and your brain's going, why are you still talking right now? Like, just stop. You wish you could reel the words back in. And listen, 12 Stone's a really safe place. It's a place of no judgment. We love Jesus, so you're not gonna judge me as I tell you some of the dumb things that I have said, right? Thank you, 12 Stone. Maybe you've been here before as well. You walk up to a lady and you say, oh my goodness, when's the baby due? You know, she's not pregnant, and you just want to go live under a rock for a while. Maybe you walk up to a mom holding a baby, and you look at the baby and you say, man, that's a strappingly handsome young boy you have there, as your eyes see the pink beret in the hair. There's nothing you can say to recover. Walk away. I saw a young couple walking up to the Flowery Branch campus a couple years ago, and they looked cute kind of walking up together. I was trying to make conversation, and as they got to the church building, I said, hey guys, you guys make such a cute couple. And they looked at each other with utter disgust as they told me they're brother and sister. Listen, we've all been there. We've had those moments where we just wish we wouldn't have said anything at all. But the tongue is way more than just a source of embarrassment. Your tongue is really powerful. So you can look back at your own history and you can think of times where just a few simple words changed everything. Think about the first time you told someone, "I love you." That'll change your relationship really fast. Think about a relationship you've been trying to repair and trying to mend for a while, and you finally hear the words, "I forgive you." That's no small statement. Guys, think back to the time when you dropped on one knee and your palms are sweating and you lift the ring up and say, "Will you marry me?" Begging God to hear the word yes. The two words that scare every man on the planet, "I do." Marriages begin with just two simple words. Maybe with the time the doctor said it's a boy or it's a girl. In this economy, maybe it's as simple as just you want to hear these words, "You are hired." You see, you experience life through words. Words are incredibly powerful. You can think back over your story and remember things that were said to you that shaped your identity, your self-confidence. They shaped who you are. So you can think back to things your parents said over the years that, whether good or bad, they still resonate in your head. They're still bouncing around in your thoughts. Some of you can remember exactly what a third or fourth grade bully said to you because you're reminded every time you look at yourself in the mirror. You see, your history was shaped by words. And all of our history has been shaped by words. In fact, we can sum up major historical moments with just small little sound bites. Check it out.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Those are just words. Words that changed our history. See, when Reagan said, "Tear down that wall," maps across the world had to all be changed as Germany was once again united. Listen, when Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream," it pointed our country in a direction of civil rights and equality. See, words have shaped and changed history. And your words, hear me, your words are shaping the history of others. And if you're honest with yourself in a moment like this, there's not one of us that doesn't shudder with a little bit of regret when I say that. Your words have shaped other people's history. So you can think back to things you've said and say, "I wish I could take that back." I got good news for us, 12 Stone. The same grace that exists to forgive you of your sins exists to transform your life, including your tongue. You see, words are incredibly powerful. And although we'll probably never have a stage as large as JFK or Reagan or Martin Luther King, I would argue that the stage that God has allowed us to stand on in our life and our families and our businesses is every bit as important as those stages. And I would argue that the words that you say will shape your history more so than any of those great communicators. Your words carry weight. You see, when this life hack series was conceived, we said we wanted to create a series in which we could bring biblical truth into the most practical arenas of life. And I can't think of a more practical arena than words. We speak between 20 and 40,000 words a day. And I think God wants to speak into the way we use those words. See, the tagline of this series is how to manage tough times and rough relationships. And let's be honest, most of us, when we go through tough times and rough relationships, it's as a result of words that we've said or someone else has said. See, God wants to speak into this for us. See, I sit with couples every week whose marriage is on the rocks. As I begin to unpack their story, what I discover very quickly is the reason their marriage is in a rough spot is because of words they chose to speak to each other. See, I sit with adults all the time who are trying to figure out why their life is kind of messy and they can't figure out what their calling is and where their identity comes from. They have self-esteem issues. And then you begin to trace it back, peel back the onion, and you discover there are a handful of words that were spoken to them over their entire life that have shaped who they are in that moment. I sit with young people all the time trying to figure out, how do I get ahead in business? How do I grow and climb the company ladder? And then I hear how they speak to their bosses and the people above them in the company, and you figure out very quickly why they're stuck. Young people, maybe this is the only reason you're here. Listen to me. There are people fired every day, not because they lack competence, but because they lack control of their tongue. See, the phrase sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We like it because it rhymes and it flows easily, but the longer you live, the more you realize it's just not true. Words can hurt. See, no matter how powerful you think your words are, the Bible says they are even more powerful. And you can see it in Genesis 1, the very beginning of Scripture. I've always thought it was interesting that God didn't just create the world, he spoke it into existence. He painstakingly and carefully spoke the world into existence. He said, "Let there be light." And he walked through creating the world. You see, our words create worlds. You get this. Your words are creating worlds that your kids live in, that your spouse exists in, that your company exists in. Your words create worlds. And the worlds that you create are a direct reflection of the words that you have spoken. And maybe that's why James spends so much time talking about our tongue and the words that we say. So grab your Bibles with me. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab one of the Bibles in the seats in front of you or the seats underneath you. And let's turn to page 1216. And we're going to be exploring a little bit of the book of James together. Page 1216, we're going to start in James 1:19. It's interesting that James mentions the tongue in all five chapters of his book. See, it's an important topic, incredibly practical. James 1:19, page 1216. Here's the first of many warnings James is giving us. Here's what he says. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." See, James is starting with a very simple warning, very broad stroke warning, saying, listen, you should listen a whole lot. You should talk sparingly. And you should never speak when you're angry, because your words have great power. And then James changes the topic and he picks it back up again in chapter 3. So flip one page over to page 1218. We're going to be in James chapter 3, verse 3. And let me tell you how it breaks down. James spends nearly the entire chapter here talking about the tongue. And he paints for us three metaphors, three pictures, if you will, of what the tongue is. And his whole point in all these metaphors is just saying, yellow flashing lights, warning, warning, warning. Your tongue is very powerful. Be careful how you use it. So let's pick up in verse 3, his first two metaphors. "We put bits in the mouths of horses to obey us, and we can turn the whole animal. We have rudders on ships, and though they are very large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts." Let's pause. What James is doing is he's painting a picture of well-known objects that are known to be very small, but have a lot of power. If you've ever been around a horse, you've seen a bit. It's a little like a 1-pound metal thing you place in the mouth of a horse, and that 1-pound bit can drive a 1,200-pound animal wherever you want to drive it. You see, if you've ever been on a cruise ship, there's a very small rudder in the back of a megaton cruise ship that drives the entire ship. And James is saying, listen, your tongue is very small inside your mouth, but it drives your entire life. Your tongue is something of the steering wheel of your life. And James's warning is saying, listen, some of us are letting our tongues drive our life without our control. It's very dangerous. It would be just like if we decided to, on our drive to work on Monday, let's just play a game. I get bored on my commute. Let's just play a fun and very risky game. Let's see how long I can take my hands off the steering wheel and we'll count. 1,000, 2,000. If you've been on 285, you probably think people are already doing this the way they drive on 285. Anyway, it'd be like we just take our hands off the steering wheel. You could probably exist like that for a little bit, but eventually your car will need direction. And hear me, 12 stone. You can let your tongue go without control for a while, but eventually it will need direction. You see, what James is telling us is we have to be careful, because if you let your tongue drive your life without control, it will crash and burn. Which leads us to his third metaphor. Let's look at verse 5. James says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course for one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. James, that escalated very quickly. From a bit in a horse's mouth to your tongue is fire, set on fire by hell. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, just like fire, your tongue creates small sparks with words. And those small sparks can burn down a whole forest. See, this is a matchbook. We probably got these at our house. This little matchbook can sit in the palm of my hands. And you look at that and say, what harm is that? You see, inside this matchbook has enough power to burn down every tree on this property. See, this matchbook has enough power to start a fire that would burn down thousands of acres. It happens every year in California. See, what James is warning us is saying, listen, you can start fires with your mouth that you cannot extinguish with your life. Whew. That should bring some sobriety to the moment. You can start fires with just small little words in your kids' lives that will burn in their head for decades. Many of you are living that right now. You can say things in your first year of marriage that start a little spark and burn as a forest fire in the mind of your spouse for decades. And James is simply saying, just heads up, your tongue is really powerful. See, it reminds me of a story in my life, not one of my prouder moments, but I was watching the DIY network, the do-it-yourself network, very dangerous network to watch, guys. I was watching and they were doing a show on lawn care. And they said during the show that, listen, every year in the spring when your grass browns up, before the first little buds of green begin to grow, the best thing for your lawn is to burn your lawn down and the ashes go back in the soil and it nutrients, come on, don't start judging me yet. The nutrients go in the soil and it's just a beautiful thing. I don't know how the show ended because I was so intrigued. I stopped the show, turned the TV off, went outside. There was probably a warning at the very end, like, before you do this, I didn't listen. So I went to the junk drawer in my house and pulled out a lighter and said, let's do it, it's good for my lawn. And I'll never forget the moment that I had a lighter in my hand, no thoughts in my head, and I leaned over and just flicked the lighter, a small little flame, and I touched it to the first blade of grass. And then that blade of grass lit the next one and the next one. And within 15 to 20 seconds, I have 6-foot flames crawling across my yard very rapidly. Now in that moment, you would think the first thing I thought about was, how do I extinguish the fire? It wasn't. The first thing I thought about is, what am I gonna tell my wife when I burn my house down? Like that's the first, what am I gonna say? And finally, when I came to my senses, I started running around my yard. Like I knew exactly where my hose was, but you've been in those Three Stooges moments where you can't get your mind around, where's my hose? I have a hose somewhere, there has to be, I use it. And so finally I found my hose and I start running towards the fire with my hose. And the fire was about 2 feet from my kid's wooden playset. And I finally extinguished the flames feet away from ruining my kid's playset. When I finally got the fire extinguished, I was breathing heavy and I sat down and I realized for the first time, I might not be able to fix the level of stupidity that exists in my life. See, I was feet from burning down my kid's playset. I was a couple yards away from burning down my house. And I was about 20 minutes away from having to explain to my wife the worst decision I'd ever made. See, this is what James is warning us of. Saying, listen, your tongue can burn down your life if you're not careful. See, we've all been there. We've all said words that blew up in our face. And maybe you felt a little bit like this guy. Check it out.
I just was experimenting with fireworks for Halloween. And I think I've perfected the mixture with sulfur. Using some potassium magnesium. So I'm gonna light this and it should just sparkle a little bit. I've got this protective cloth down here. Actually, I think I'll turn the light out so it shows up better. Okay, let's try this out here.
The banjo was appropriate in that video, I believe. We've all been there. You strike a match with your mouth and it blows up in your face, which leads us to what I think James is actually saying. Here is the life principle for us this weekend. Here's what James is saying. If you're taking notes, you can fill in the blanks with me. Once words leave your mouth, they are uncontainable and uncontrollable. Once words leave your mouth, they are uncontainable and uncontrollable. It's like the man in the banjo video. When he struck that match and lit that fuse, he no longer had control over what was going to happen. The same is true with your words. Once you speak a word, you relinquish control. See, what James is saying is just caution. As long as you keep that word inside, you have a chance to process it, to think it through, to add wisdom to the emotion of the moment, to take it to God and say, God, give me clarity on this thing I'm about to say. You see, David even wrestles through this in Psalm 139, 23. He says, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me. You see, even David's wrestling this through saying, God, look into my heart. Is there something inside me that's hurtful? Is there a better way to say this? See, there's a reason that God placed our tongue behind our teeth and our lips, because your tongue needs restraint. See, there are things we can say that can burn down our life. It's almost like James is saying, listen, words are one of the few things that don't follow Newton's third law of physics. Any science nerds in the room, this is speaking to your heart right now. Newton says, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And James is kind of saying, listen, that's just not true with words. For every word spoken, there's an uncontainable and there's an uncontrollable reaction in that. And most of us can nod along in a teaching like this and say, yep, I get it, Pastor, keep moving. I get it. But I don't think we do get it, because we all, myself included, still say things like this. All I said was this, and my wife lost her mind. All I said was this, and my dad just about killed me. All I said was this, and my boss fired me. All I said was this, spark, and I burnt a forest down, and we're still shocked by it. See, we still don't get this because we think this way. All I did was strike a match. How in the world could the whole forest burn down? See, that's what James is trying to bring into our thinking. Hear me. Once words leave your mouth, they are uncontainable and uncontrollable. Parents, you can speak words to your kids now that will breathe confidence and self-esteem and the love of God into their life. And once you say it, it's out of your control and it grows up into a burning fire within them in the good sense. Or parents, you can begin to speak words into your kids' lives right now that will smolder and burn for years, that they will eventually sit with a counselor and have to unpack. See, once you say it, it's out of your control. See, it reminds me of a story I read in Tim Sanders' book. Tim Sanders was an executive at Yahoo, and he wrote a book called Saving the World at Work. And in his book, he tells the true story. He calls it the Xbox story. You know, when Tim was driving around, touring and speaking and sharing at conferences, he used to speak about how to become a boss that really cares about his employees. So he was teaching this, and there was a boss there named Steve, and Steve heard this teaching. He said, I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna do this. So he had 9 direct reports underneath him. So Steve decided that next week, I'm gonna spend just a couple minutes with each person that works with me. I'm just gonna tell them one thing personal, one thing professional that I appreciate about them. So he made his way around the office doing that, and he came to one guy's office, and they called him Lenny to protect his identity. And he went to Lenny's office and said 2 things. Lenny, first of all, thank you for being such a good employee. You turn your work in 24 hours early, and that helps me sleep at night. Second thing he said was, Lenny, I am so glad that you came into my life. And that was it. Couple simple words. And the boss moved on, didn't think anything of it. And then 2 days later, Lenny shows up at the office with a large present, wrapped with a bow on the top, and he hands it to his boss. This doesn't happen a lot in corporate America. So his boss opened the package, and what was in it was an Xbox gaming console. His boss said, Lenny, thank you. This is wonderful, but what's it about? And Lenny began to unpack a story that his boss had no clue was going on. See, under the surface, Lenny had been wrestling through depression. And if you know anything about depression, it leads your mind down some dark paths. And Lenny had begun to buy into the thought that no one actually cared about him. So you see, when his boss stepped into his office and said that, I can't imagine my life without you. I'm so glad you stepped into my life. It changed something in Lenny. The boss said, okay, wow, thank you for sharing that. But seriously, what's the Xbox for? This is what the book tells us. As it turns out, this employee had purchased the Xbox by pawning a revolver that he had intended to use to end his life. And after hearing the small words of praise from his boss, the man decided to keep living and seek help for his depression. Just a few kind words were all it took to help him realize that someone cares about him. See, that boss had no idea what was on the line when he stepped into Lenny's office that day. He had no clue that his words were literally life and death. And James is telling us your words in any given moment are life and death for somebody. Proverbs 18 tells us the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. James is telling us, be careful with your words. And interestingly, James finishes his thoughts on the tongue, never gives us any practical advice, just says, listen, really dangerous, be careful. He wraps it up and he moves on to another subject. And we say, what do we do now? If my tongue is steering my life and I have the potential to burn down marriages and relationships and the company I work at, and there's so much danger involved, what should I do with that? That's the beauty of the Life Hack series. Because I think God wants to speak in very practically into the most practical arenas of our life, our words. And I think he would give us 3 life hacks. So here's the first one. Be careful, this one's really pastoral. It's got a lot of heart to it. So just, if you're taking notes, you can fill in the first one. The first life hack is shut up. Shut up when you're angry. About 5-6 years ago, when I first got on staff here, a bunch of the young guys on staff, we decided we wanted to join a church basketball league together. And so about 7 or 8 of us jumped on a team and we went to another church down the road. So we had a team full of 12 stone pastors playing basketball at a church down the road, and we got into the game. And if you don't know me, I am really, really competitive. Like I'll hurt people to win and I'll feel bad about it, don't get me wrong, but I'll do what it takes kind of feel bad. I do what it takes to win. I'm very competitive. And so with that in the picture, so the game's coming and the guy's dribbling down the court and he's getting sloppy with the basketball. And I reach in and slap the ball away and I get a fast break. I'm making a beeline to the basket and the referee blows the whistle and calls a reaching foul. To this day, that is the worst call. If that ref is in one of our campuses right now, I love you in Jesus' name, but you were wrong. So it's a terrible, terrible call in that moment. And he calls a foul, and I feel the anger bubbling up in my gut. I'm about to lose it in this moment. So I calm it down enough to get my composure. And the very next play, the same guy's dribbling down the court, smacking the ball, I have to do it again. I reach in again, steal the ball, and I'm like, surely he's gonna blow a whistle, and he didn't. And yet the anger was still in my gut. And so instead of taking a direct route to the basket to score 2 points, in my wisdom and maturity, I decided to take a long route around to get as close to the ref as possible and deliver the most arrogant and angry thing I could think of. And I looked him right in the eyes and said, what, that wasn't a foul too? Straight to the basket, blew a whistle, technical foul. To sum this story up thus far, an entire team of 12 stone pastors playing at another church, one of the pastors mouthed off to the ref, got a technical foul. Thank you very much. It was not the best moment of my life. See, I was still, even after the technical, I was still angry, I was still seething. One of the other pastors called a timeout, pulled the team aside, he pulled me aside. He looked me in the eyes and he delivered some of the best pastoral wisdom I've ever received in my life. He looked at me and said, Jason, you have got to shut up. And if you'd give me the grace to say it, I believe there are people in the room today that maybe the best piece of pastoral advice you need to hear this morning, shut up. You see, when you feel that anger growing up in your gut, the best thing we can do, call the timeout, calm down, shut your mouth. Think about how many times in your life you would have loved to have my friend on the sidelines of your life to call a timeout and say, before you say it, shut up. Shut your mouth, don't do it. Some of you would still be in marriages. Some of you would still have jobs. Some of you would still have relationship with your kids if only we could have grabbed a hold of this. And right about now, everyone in the room is thinking about someone they know that you think needs to shut up. Welcome to humanity. Listen, but you're missing the whole point. I'm talking to you. See, we give ourselves all kinds of excuses and run in our mouth because we say, listen, I'm just being honest. Was it not the truth? That dress did make her, don't say that one. I'm just being honest, I'm telling the truth. And if you think you can survive a world where people say everything that's true all the time, you're wrong. You see, honesty is not saying everything that's true all the time. Honesty is making sure that everything you do say is true. You see, the reason that a pastor had to call time out and pull me aside to tell me to shut up was because when the Holy Spirit spoke, I said, Jason, shut up. I didn't listen. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, that brief pause before you say that hurtful, destructive statement, that's the Holy Spirit giving you an opportunity to stop. It's the Holy Spirit in his kindness saying, pause, stop. Shut up. So if you want to grow up, the first time the Holy Spirit says shut up, don't dismiss it. First life hack, shut up. Second one is speak up. The second one is speak up while you have the time. If you're taking notes, speak up. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in our culture, for whatever reason, sometimes it requires a funeral to give us the confidence to speak up and tell someone how we really felt about them. See, at funerals, it doesn't feel weird to just speak over and over about how great this person was, how much they meant to you, how much you cared for them. And then when you get into real life, it gets really complicated. I'll just be honest, it feels weird. See, I stood on this very stage 6 months ago and I did the funeral for my father-in-law, Doug Irvin. Incredible man. We spent 90 minutes to 2 hours just going on and on about how incredible he was, how much he meant to people as a father, as a husband, as a staff member here at this church, as a friend, and it felt completely normal. And then on my drive home, as is often happens, sometimes tragedy brings clarity. And so in that moment, it just felt like God was inviting me to think differently. And I called my own dad and I said, "Dad, it's just so weird that it doesn't feel natural to me to sit across the table from someone and just tell them, spend an hour and just say, I want to tell you what you mean to me." See, 12 Stone, we've got to create environments where that feels normal. Let me just speak to men for a second. Because guys, we struggle with this. We uniquely struggle with this. See guys, our kids and our spouses are dying to hear us speak up. And in great part, we are silent. Men, your voice should be the most loud voice in your home. Some of you are saying, "My voice really is the loudest in our home." Listen, I'm not talking about volume. I'm talking about value. See, I am sick and tired of sitting with adults who tell me, "I've never heard my dad say, I love you." And we give the excuse, "They know I love them. I provide for them. I pay the bills." And that's great. But what James is saying is, listen, there's something incredibly powerful about the voice of a father building up his kids, his spouse, saying, "I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm so glad that you're my son. You're my daughter. I'm so blessed to have you as my wife." Men, we have got to learn to speak up. And for all of us, I think there are everyday moments that God invites us to speak up, just like the Xbox story. I think we pass people every day that God gives us the opportunity to speak up. 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, my wife was walking through Target. And it was one of the moments that is just like, I'm so tired of being a mom right now. We have three kids and the kids are grabbing stuff off the shelves and they're making noise. And Amber's just, she was like, "I wanna be home. I don't wanna be here." And it's always true. When that happens, you always run into somebody from church, don't you? When your kids are perfect, you're like, "Where's everyone from church? They're nowhere to be seen." And then, so she bumps into someone from church and had a brief exchange, a quick hello. And that the other lady obviously could tell Amber was stressed. And by the time Amber got home, we got the kids bathed. And that night she checked her email and she received an email from this lady. Probably took 5 minutes to write. My wife has read it dozens of times. Here's just a quick look at it. "Hey Amber, great seeing you today. Your kids are gorgeous. It's obvious they're happy, well-adjusted kids. I know this is a busy season for you with three little ones, but I just wanted to encourage you and remind you of what a wonderful mom you are. As moms, our intent can be right. We can try the best we can, and there's still gaps, and that's where the grace of God fills in. This is a tough stage of life, but in no time, those three beautiful kiddos will be all grown, and you'll enjoy a great relationship with them. Anyway, just wanted to throw a little encouragement your way and to remind you that you are well-equipped for this huge task, and you are a fantastic mom." My wife has read that dozens of times. And if we're honest, I don't think that lady had time to send that email, but I believe the Holy Spirit prompted her. Said, "Hey, Amber needs to hear from you today. You saw what was going on at Target." And that little email of encouragement has shaped my wife's view of being a mom. And God will prompt us in those moments as well. And when God says, "Hey, just drop that lady a text and drop that guy a quick email. May swing by that guy's house on the drive home." Don't dismiss it. First one, shut up. Second one, speak up. Our last life hack is clean up what you burn down. Clean up what you burn down. Parents, the words clean up are like a broken record in our head. The top 10 phrases that parents say between the time their kids are born and 18, one of the top 10 is clean up. Clean up your room, clean up the mess, clean up the food on the table, clean up yourself. We say clean up all the time. And yet, when it comes to cleaning up after the messes our words make, it doesn't come as natural. You see, when we speak words and burn someone down, the least we should do is step back in and take ownership of the fire. See, many of us have fires still burning in corners of our life that we've just avoided. Once you start the fire, you walk away and avoid it because it's easier that way. And maybe for some of us, the life hack you need to lean into is clean up what you burn down. How do you do that? That gets complicated. How do you clean up what you burn down? Here's a couple of simple things. First of all, there are two sides to every fire. Own up to your side of the fire. Listen, I did it. You did some stuff, I did some stuff, I'm owning my piece of that. Once you own up to your side of the fire, stop talking. Everything else you say after that sounds like an excuse. You don't light more matches to extinguish a fire, right? Your words are what got you into the trouble in the first place. And then thirdly, change. You don't demonstrate change through more words. You demonstrate that through actions. We've got to learn to clean up what we burn down. But if we're honest, I think there's people in this room that can say, Pastor, that's a clever way to say it. Let's clean up. And I like how it teaches in a message like this, but you don't know. You don't know the things I've said to people. You don't know the fires that I've started. And that's cute and all, but there's no way I can actually clean that up. Maybe you're on the other side and you're saying, you don't know what that guy said to me. You don't know what that person's done to me. You better hope they don't come and try to clean that one up because it's gonna go bad for them. There's no way I could forgive them. You see, that's why the gospel is so powerful. Forgiveness is not natural. Retribution is natural. You burn me, I burn you, we all go home. But God offers us a better way. See, God knew the cost of sin was death. And he knew the price of forgiveness would take his son Jesus dying for us. You see, the gospel flipped everything on its head. And there are messes that you simply can't clean up on your own. There's forgiveness that you can't offer people on your own. And the beauty of the gospel is God says, I forgave you much. And now you go forgive others. See, 12 stone, when we wrestle through and say, I don't know how to forgive this person, or I don't know how to humble myself and begin to form the words of I'm sorry, we look to the cross, and that is the picture of forgiveness for us. And when you've been forgiven of much, you're freed up to forgive others. So before I turn the service over to the campus pastors, I want to ask us three simple questions. The first one, when do you need to shut up? What are the moments that you just know I've got to learn to shut my mouth here? Who do you need to speak up to? Maybe it's your kids, your family, a coworker. And lastly, where do you need to clean up what you've burned down? So right here at the Central Campus, I want to invite us into a word of prayer. So let's bow our heads together. As we cover the topic of words, it can seem so practical, but yet it crosses into every corner of our life. And as I offer this prayer over us, maybe you just need to whisper to your Heavenly Father, God, I need help in this arena or that arena or this relationship. So as I pray, you can whisper to your Heavenly Father. And so God, thank you for Jesus and for forgiveness. Outside of the cross, there is no way we could ever find forgiveness or get forgiveness from one another. So we start there. God, we acknowledge that the tongue you've placed in our mouth is an incredibly powerful tool, and many of us have used it for good, and others have used it for bad. And so God, this morning, as we sit in this moment, for those of us that need to hear this, Holy Spirit, speak up and tell us when we need to shut our mouths. God, make us really, really good at hearing your Holy Spirit say, nope, shh, don't say it. Give us the discipline to not speak. There's power sometimes in that silence. God, for others, we need your help to learn to speak up. For guys especially, sometimes it just feels weird, God. We just need your confidence to help us say the first word, I love you, to your kids or to your spouse. God, it's really hard. We need your help in this. Would you make 12 Stone a place where we are known for people that we speak up words of life and encouragement to each other? And lastly, God, many of us have fires and relationships that we've started and we've messed things up. We've left a wake of destruction behind us. We need the power of the gospel to help humble us, to help us to say, I'm sorry, to help us to say, you're forgiven, and to mend things. Would you give us that humility? Because there's no one like you, God. We are so grateful. In your heavenly name, Amen and amen.